We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cleveland.com's Joe Noga. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys.
That's good. I imagine you're probably tired after the past couple days. You could double dip a baseball. That's always fun, though.
Yeah, it's never a bad day when you're hanging out at the ballpark the whole time, unless it was Friday night when it was about 40 degrees and windy and rainy. Then it was kind of miserable. But Sunday and Monday were just fine.
Yeah, Dustin, that was one of the weirdest things. On Friday, it looked like you couldn't land airplanes near Progressive. No. If you wanted to. And then Saturday, it wasn't even raining. It was just windy. Like, we could have gone golfing Saturday, and they decided not to play. It was so odd.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
The funny thing was, Tito said he went to Newport, Rhode Island for his youngest daughter's wedding, and the weather followed him there after Friday night. He said his plane circled like three times, and they finally had to divert him because he couldn't land. So you said he couldn't land planes. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. He probably was in those prop
how much planes. Real quick, though, how much you think it factored in not having Tito this weekend, if at all?
I don't know if that factored in as much as, you know, if you pushed that Saturday game to Sunday, you wound up saving eight innings worth of pitching against one of the better hitting offenses in the American League. In total, if you play those back-to-back doubleheaders, you cut down on a significant number of innings that your already depleted starting rotation had to sort of make up. I as much as the fans and those people, and I sympathize with those people who had tickets, it was kind of brilliant, actually, if you look at it.
So tell us what we do now with the starting rotation, Joe, because Cal Quantrill looked good. Tristan McKenzie looked good. Shane Bieber's going tonight, so we know that's all right. But I don't know what to do with this starting rotation.
Well, it's good to have options, and I guess the Indians have a bunch of options. They just don't know. They just haven't really given us a clear indication which ones they're going to go with beyond tomorrow's start with Eli Morgan. Eli Morgan getting sort of the if it's opening day 2.0 for the fans, it's going to be Eli Morgan's major league debut 2.0 because nobody should have had to make their major league debut in that mess on Friday night. But you've got Eli Morgan going tomorrow. Who knows if he's with the club beyond that start? Tristan McKenzie certainly gave you something to think about yesterday, setting a franchise record with eight consecutive strikeouts against that Chicago lineup that's, you know, hit him pretty good all year. But again, he did have the second inning where he gave up four runs and sort of the circus came to town defensively. The short answer is I don't know. Does J.C. Mejia get a start somewhere in there? Sam Henches is in the rotation for now, but how long is he going to last in there? There are options, not all of them right now great. Maybe Cal Quantrill gets stretched out and he gets to go, but they seem to like him in a relief role as he's been productive this year.
Yeah, and it seems so odd because he warmed up like he was doing a relieving job and then only went, you know, 3 1/3 or whatever it was, and they just seem like, okay, this is what we're going to do. But the odd part to me, Joe, is that they had no backup plan for any of this. Like, how do you enter the season thinking that between Logan Allen, between Tristan McKenzie, and then even just not even accounting for any of the actual just injuries that could potentially happen, like we saw happen with Plesac, with the shirt and him then seeing his way onto the IL. Like, how did they not account for this becoming the scenario that it is?
Well, I don't think you ever account for a pitcher's undershirt attacking him in the clubhouse, but... That one I think you just sort of chalk up to it happened. But they don't have anybody in the system right now at AAA, the veteran guy who could eat innings. They actually let Adam Plutko walk, or they traded him to Baltimore at the end of training camp. That would have been the ideal candidate to have. You know, you could put him in that number four spot in the rotation and have him chew up innings. That's what he did for a few years there, was he gave you five innings and a chance to win a game, kept you close. But, you made the decision to keep Oliver Perez on the roster at the time. And you went with Cal Quantrill instead of Adam Plutko in that sort of long role. I don't know. That way right there probably was the biggest regret they have at the end of spring training. But as far as accounting for it, you can't account for the fact that the way Logan Allen looked in spring training, he looked like he was going to settle in nicely as a piece in the rotation. And then, just sort of fell apart there after a few starts.
Joe, is this division the Indians' best friend right now?
The Twins are not where I expected them to be at this. If you told me at the end of May that the Indians would be 3.5 games behind the White Sox in the division, I would have thought that the Twins would have been right in between those two teams, fighting it out. That's certainly not the case. The Royals had their moments early on. They've sort of been up and down a lot. They're starting to heat up again. The Tigers have shown flashes, but the Indians have shown that they can really handle them with no sort of problem. It's really going to come down to this series here, this matchup between the Indians and the White Sox, and they've proven so far that they can stand toe-to-toe with these guys and take their best shot.
Hey, what do you make of Owen Miller's call-up so far?
I don't think we've seen enough of him yet. We need to see, maybe another week or so of him playing on a regular basis. I like the fact that he's, been able to move around the diamond, give other guys a chance to get off their feet and play, third base plays, second base. You saw him at first base yesterday. You just need to let him settle in and sort of get everybody's eyes off of him, I guess, and let him do his thing. I think he'll be just fine. A kid who puts the bat on the ball these days is going to be a hot commodity come, the next couple of years.
Joe Noga, Cleveland.com, joining us here on The Fan. Yeah, I love that they called him up. It was one of those, honestly, though, it kind of felt like buying into the stock market, right? Where you're like, wait, we bought high, you're supposed to buy low. We bought high, and with baseball regression happening, it felt like he did all his best hitting in AAA, and then it came up to the big leagues, and it's like, all right, now the regression has just smacked him in the face, and it hasn't gone nearly as good as we thought.
Well, and again, the last part of a young player's development happens at the major league level. He has to make adjustments and learn how, when pitchers make adjustments to him, what the next move is. It's that chess match that Shane Bieber always talks about. I've got no problem with giving Owen Miller a little bit more time. You can't just automatically write him off. Oh, he's only batting 162 after, his first 2 weeks in the big leagues. That's not a problem for me right now. The circumstances, you couldn't help it. You had to call him up because Franmil Reyes goes on the injured list. And really, he was the only guy that really stood out in AAA that you could sort of plug into that spot and have a bat that would produce anything.
Are you buying into them being buyers at the deadline? And if so, do you have any names in mind, or is this just a conversation that we shouldn't even bother to have?
I would not look at them adding any sort of payroll, adding any sort of player, and really not even wanting to give up any sort of prospect capital at this point. Their stockpile of good young talent in the minor leagues is what's going to get them through the next couple of years, especially with what happened to their financial resources due to the pandemic. I really don't see them adding a bat or adding a position player at all come the training deadline.
Jonathan mentioned that Bieber is going to go tonight. His last performance was outstanding. You think he found something there?
Yeah, I think he's been playing with that slider for the last couple of outings. It sort of left him for a little stretch there, and now he might have found it. But really what we saw in his last outing was he went to the curveball a lot. And that, you know, he loves his curveball. He loves going to that pitch. It's a really good, it's a plus pitch. It's a plus plus pitch. So when Shane Bieber is determined to throw his curveball and strike batters out with it, it could be a long night if you're in the opposing lineup.
Joe, I've told you before, I read you anything you write. I think you're absolutely outstanding at what you do. But I don't have a good grasp on whether or not you are one of these baseball purists to the extreme, or whether you are. I get the vibe that you are more open to some changes in the game. When we talk about like seven innings, which you watched four games over the previous two, I initially thought, well, that doesn't help the Indians at all. You're a third best relieving team according to FanGraphs in the entire league. Like you wanna play nine innings if you're the Indians. But after watching it over the past 48 hours, now 72 hours, what do you make about baseball and seven innings for these doubleheaders? Is it good or bad?
I really don't mind that change in terms. It preserves your pitching staff, and it sort of lessens the wear on guys. You talk about guys like Jose Ramirez and Cesar Hernandez, guys that play every inning of every game. You know, 18 innings in a day is a lot. Two-hour games, I love it from the perspective of I can write two quick game stories and be out of there. it's not really taxing on the guys who cover the team. It's a long day, but as far as being a baseball purist or is it changing the game or whatever, the only thing I really have a problem with is that if somebody throws a no hitter in a seven inning game, that should be a no hitter. That to me, that's you pitched every inning that they told you is available for you to pitch, and you didn't allow a hit.
Right.
Why isn't it a no hitter?
Oh, we can call it the Bumgarner rule then. Like, we'll just make it what it is and move forward with it. How are we going to fix the game in general, though, Joe? I need a big baseball thought from you on how to fix it. Are you going to move the mound back 1 foot, or are you just going to continue to just let the strikeouts happen?
I am loathe to move the mound back or lower the mound or anything like that. I don't want to see more, multi-million dollar pitchers blowing out their arms or getting hurt that way. And I think that's what would happen. I like increasing the size of the bases. I like the changes about the pickoff moves and the lefties having to step off and that stuff. I those are all, I think, positive. I wouldn't go so far as to legislate the shift out of the game. I don't think that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should mandate that two guys are on either side of the bag. But maybe if you're going to put two guys on or three guys on one side of the bag, maybe, all three of them have to have their feet in the dirt. I don't mind that rule. I don't think that's a terrible thing. If you're going to overload one side, then you shouldn't be able to drop a guy into short right field.
All right, Joe, appreciate the stuff as always. Again, I read everything you do. I think you're absolutely awesome, and I appreciate you giving us a couple minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.